ended at 10:38.
That's 10 p.m., 10 at night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know this, you know the moment it stops and starts, you can tell.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd had one before, a few, like a day or two after you left the hospital?
The day after I left the hospital, so the for 16th. An hour.
And that those are the only two episodes?
Yeah.
Otherwise, when you're not in AFib, you're feeling okay? No side effects from the medication as far as you can tell?
Right.
Good. Let me see here.
No, I've been tolerating the med quite well.
Great.
I know.
Well, yeah. Well, great, yeah. If it's not, yeah, it's right. Not working.
Whether
perfect.
It's working or not, right, is right. Another thing.
No bleeding problems from the Xarelto?
Yeah, I average of once a day. Nosebleeds.
Nosebleeds. Alright. And when you're in AFib, you're still feeling terrible?
Pretty much, yeah. A pale, generally weak, tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think at this point we've tried flecainide, which worked for some time and then failed. We've tried the dofetilide, which is probably the strongest medication we have for this. And they've, you know, I don't know if we could say they've completely failed. I'm pretty sure if you weren't on dofetilide, you'd be having more episodes than you are now.
Probably.
But certainly having an episode every week, it sounds like, is a little too much. You already had one ablation. It lasted for a couple of years, and I'm sure Dr. Lobel, when he did the ablation, told you that a second ablation has a higher chance of long-term success.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, you know, the only kind of other thing I could offer you is to refer you for another ablation with Dr. Lobel. The thing to understand is we're dealing with a quality of life issue, so there's no right or wrong answer. It all depends on how much this bothers you. And if you would tell me, well, having one episode, you know, that lasts 1 to 4 hours once a week or once every 2 weeks doesn't bother me all that much. We could just continue going with the dofetilide. I think it's unlikely that it's going to get better than this. I think we're going to be dealing with episodes every week or every other week.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No.
And so I think the ablation, quite frankly, is probably our best option at this point.
Was it smart to go this route? To try this first?
It wasn't unreasonable. I think I told you when you came that, you know, the chance of, if you fail one antiarrhythmic medication, the chance of a different antiarrhythmic medication working isn't great, but it's certainly not zero. The dofetilide is better than the flecainide. I know you'd been on it years and years before, but I think it's not infrequent for people, once they have the ablation, then medications that didn't work before now work. And you, I think at that point, we're trying to avoid the ablation at all costs, or not at all costs, but really, I think you would have rather try a medication than do the ablation, and so that's why we went with that route.
Just because it's less invasive.
It is less invasive, yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, you're in a very good position to make a decision about this because you've had an ablation before, so you kind of know what you're getting into. Yeah. To be honest, I think the procedure compared to 2011 has gotten better. The technology is better. I mean, just in terms of the computers that we use and the catheters that we use now, you know, there's plenty of new things, but the best is, one of the problems with the ablation is we don't always know if we're touching, you know, we're trying to burn tissue, and contact force, you know, how hard we're touching is very important. And before it was kind of a guessing game, whereas now there's actually a little sensor in the catheter, and we know exactly how hard and how well we're touching the heart tissue as we're doing the ablation. I think the success rates are only going to improve with time. So having had your last ablation 5 years ago, I think, you know, there's a very good chance that the second ablation hopefully will have you free of atrial fibrillation for at least the next 5 years.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. I think you should stay on Xarelto. I think we'll Pralto even Lobel, but I think having had a stroke before, I think your risk is high enough that we'd probably keep you on the Xarelto, even if the ablation is deemed successful. But I'll talk to Dr. Lobel, see if he has any strong feelings. Would you want me to refer you kind of as soon as possible, or is there a particular time that works best for you? Or
there's a time that doesn't work, and that's May 15th.
Okay.
Because I want to see my daughter graduate.
Okay. College. Yeah, I would be surprised if we could get it in before that.
Okay, after that then.
After that, yeah. And so I think until then I would just keep taking the dofetilide, knowing it's not perfect. I still think it is suppressing your atrial fibrillation, but it's not 100%. efficacious at doing that. And then right after I see you, I'll email Dr. LaBelle and the schedulers in Vermont, and they'll be getting in touch with you to schedule that the other procedure.
Okay. So we haven't ever discussed internal defibrillator.
There's no benefit, you know, people with atrial fibrillation, there's no benefit to having a defibrillator.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I have one of these episodes, both the last two times I've called the hospital to try and get a hold of you see how long I should wait before going into the ER, and they both times they says, oh, we'll contact him and we'll get back to you, and neither time did they do that.
They called me yesterday and they said they were going to call you back.
No, they did not.
Okay.
I called later on again and kind of reminded them, and they says, oh, yes. It's been a zoo here today, they said.
I'm sorry to hear that. You know, it's always after hours is a little complicated, but I think, you know, the atrial fibrillation in itself isn't bad.
But the atrial tech with it.
Well, so the main risk, the main problem of all of this atrial fibrillation is the risk of you having a stroke. And because we have you on a blood thinner, you're protected from that. And so the other risks don't feel good, really bad, and it doesn't go away. You could go to the emergency room where they, you know, in the worst case scenario, could do a cardioversion. And then kind of in the middle is if your heart goes too fast. And we know that tachycardia over a long period of time, I'm talking weeks and weeks and weeks, can damage the heart muscle. But I think if your episodes last 1 or 2 or 3 hours and they're not unbearable, I don't think there's a reason for you to go to the emergency room.
I mean, I could have easily gone to bed last night and waited to see how it was in the morning, and
yeah. And
would have not felt the symptoms and everything while I slept.
Yeah, I think that's if you're feeling, you know, if you know you're in AFib but you're not feeling terrible, if your heart rate isn't, you know, 150 or high or anything like that, it's not unreasonable to just wait and see and wait for the episode to go away. As long as you're on the blood thinner. Because that's the big thing is with this is the risk of having a stroke. And because you're on a blood thinner anyway, we have you protected from that risk. The people who run into trouble from having their heart rate go too fast are usually people who don't know they have AFib, who don't feel it at all. And so then they go into AFib, they feel no different, their heart rate is 160 for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
How can they not
know? I know. We don't know why some people feel it, some people don't feel it.
No, I'm very well aware of exactly when it starts.
You told me it's like 10:38 it stops.
Yeah.
So that's pretty precise.
Well, even if it gallops a couple of times, I can feel that.
Yeah.
Well, besides the fact that I'm still hearing it.
In your ear.
Yeah.
Now, let me see what the metoprolol, you know, the other thing you could do is if you go into atrial fibrillation and you feel like your heart rate is very fast, do you have a cuff or a way to measure your actual heart rate?
Yeah.
What was it yesterday when you were in AFib?
Very well aware that I wasn't getting them all.
Okay.
Counting them all.
Oh, so you're counting by, you're just manually
palpating.
Yeah.
Of course, I've got this too.
Like a Fitbit.
I just tested this against what she had on hers, and it was exactly the same.
Great. You're the second person today with exactly the same one.
Oh, really?
62? Is that what it says there?
That's what it says here.
Yeah. That's pretty close.
This is 64 or 65 before.
You know, if you're in AFib, it's not unreasonable if you want to take an extra metoprolol. What the metoprolol does is it just slows your heart rate down. So if you're feeling bad from a fast
That's
heart rate...
That's good to know.
You can take an extra metoprolol.
Okay.
And so, you know, the only reason for you to go to the emergency room is if you have an episode that's lasting and just won't stop on its own, which hasn't happened, or if you're just feeling terrible and your heart rate's very high and you can't get it down with the metoprolol. But the AFib itself happening isn't like a dangerous thing, you know.
Okay.
And like I said, we have people who go in and out all the time who aren't aware.
Right.
And there's really
right.
nothing for them to do except make sure their heart rate's not very fast for a long, long period of time.
So the major concern at this point would be the tachycardia.
Well, I think in your case, you're very unlikely to go with a heart rate. You know, I think it's unlikely that you'll be in AFib for long enough to get some kind of damage from the tachycardia without knowing it, because you know the second it starts. So, yeah. Okay, take a seat up there. Let me take a quick listen to your heart and your lungs, and then I'll go email Dr. LaBelle.
swelling in your legs?
No, I don't believe that.
All right,
get the ball rolling on the referral for the ablation, and then usually how it works, you know, sometimes Dr. Lobel likes to see people in the clinic there before he does the procedure. I don't know if you have any preference. Would you rather see him in the clinic or just go straight for the procedure? I think most people prefer that. Sometimes there's some details that he wants to go over, but usually, you know, if someone's fairly young, if someone's older, higher risk or something, they might want to see them. But I think in your case, he's
already
done it.
He answered all my questions before, yeah. And he drew a diagram showing me exactly what he
very
was going
nice.
To do.
Very nice. So I'll just email him directly, and I'm happy to see you in follow-up. Usually we see people 2 to 3 weeks after, mostly to make sure that they're healing well at the groin where they go in with the needles. And we'll go from there.
Yeah, I had bleeding there that was really hard to stop last time.
Yeah, usually it's a one-night stay in the hospital. If there's a lot of bleeding, sometimes they'll keep you for an extra night. Now, I put in here, I'm going to make a 3-month follow-up, but that's just to have something on the books. I'm pretty sure I'll be seeing you before that after the ablation. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Good to see you.